Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. So you know what? We talk about a lot on this show, and I hope you like it because I'm going to keep doing it. If you keep tuning in, I'll keep doing what I'm doing. And there's so many topics we could get to, but you know what? After all is said and done, we may talk about a lot of topics, but I, of course, always come back to some of the basics, and that's some of the financial stuff. And it's always good when I can get a fellow financial planner on the line to corroborate all my stories that I tell you on this program. I'm teasing. Actually, it is really good perspective for me to have other advisors come on the line. And usually when I do that, they're from parts unknown, some other country, in fact, so they're not a competitor of mine. But actually, I do have one on the line, and he's a managing director of Capital Resource Group. His name is Houston Harrison. And the website, if you'd like to take a look at what he's up to, it's CapResGRP.com. So Capital Resource Group and the website CapResGRP.com. And we're going to talk about a couple things with Houston, but first let me welcome him to the program. Houston, are you there? Come in, Houston.
I'm here.
All right. I don't want to have to say, Houston, we have a problem.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that. I know. And my listeners already know this. You might as well know it too. I write all my own material, so I only have myself to blame for poor humor. Listen, I'll introduce you a little bit more properly, Houston. Houston has, 20 years. That's a good run. 20 years of financial experience in the financial field and finance and insurance degree from University of Arkansas. And he does comprehensive financial planning. He's an independent registered investment advisor. Go RIA. I like that. That's what we do. And he does a lot of work with individuals, business owners, corporate executives, and retirees to help them improve their financial planning and their retirement, and takes a holistic approach. So a lot of similarities with what I'm doing with what Houston does. So we're going to get into a couple topics, but the first one, I've got to get some perspective from you, Houston, on this, because again, as I'm in my setup, I love to bounce stuff off of other advisors, because you're doing it like I am every day, working with people, trying to help them plan their financial future. So we've had this recent, looking at where we are in 2014, we had this recent period where the Federal Reserve, of course, was doing their quantitative easing thing, which is basically creating digital money and using that to buy mortgage-backed securities and our own debt. And then, so they went through this long telegraph process of stopping that, which they finally did. And the question a lot of people have is, what's next? So my question for you is, what do you think is next? Do you think the Federal Reserve might let that kind of just hang in the air and see what plays out? You think they're more concerned about inflation? Do you think that, you know, some of the recent job numbers could be indicative of some fundamental growth? What's your take on where we are?
By the way, thanks for having me, David. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome. I just dove in, didn't I?
Yes. To answer your question, I think all of those factors will come into play. The economy being the biggest, and you know, we've seen some, since the recent election, we've seen some positive outlook in the stock market. But really, it's going to be based on how the businesses do over the long term. So I think the Fed is going to watch that closely, and they're going to watch corporate profits, and they're going to watch how our banking system is doing. And over time, they could do more quantitative easing in the future.
Yeah, and you know, we did go through three rounds of it. You know, it was QE1, 2, and 3, and of course, we only have to look on the other side of the globe to see Japan. It's QE infinity for them, and so we may see the Fed return to it, but I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of wait and see, and I like your perspective, Houston, because one of the things that you just said that struck me was, when it's all said and done, it's the fundamentals that matter, right? I mean, corporations have to have profit, and businesses have to make money to drive the economy and drive the stock market.
Absolutely.
So, the other part of this that a lot of people look that are, you know, watching the Fed is inflation. And it seems that the general rate of inflation, although there's certainly pockets of inflation, one I most often note is food inflation, both in terms of how they reduce the size of the thing you buy for the same amount of money, or they actually raise the price. But aside from food, and I know there's other pockets of inflation, it seems that overall inflation is muted. And actually, the Federal Reserve, I think, at times have been fairly concerned about that. You know, what's your take on that piece of it? You think that's something that a lot of people should be concerned about yet, or we're still kind of in a? You think we'll still be in a low rate environment for a low inflation rate environment for a while?
Well, I think the numbers that we see that are published are a little bit skewed in that the average American probably is feeling it a little more than those would indicate. So what we feel is the cost of our groceries, the cost of our gasoline, mm-hmm. the cost of our everyday living. So I think those things have probably had a higher rate of inflation than what the published numbers would indicate.
Yeah.
So we're probably feeling it more than what the average person would assume.
Yeah, and I think that's very fair. And I think the other piece of that, which is actually very interesting to me, is you mentioned the gasoline and, of course, oil prices. As you know, Houston have been coming down pretty significantly. In fact, there's talk at OPEC. Well, first, Saudi Arabia says we're gonna basically lower our price. They're trying to shut down the shale guys and shut down competition. And then we saw OPEC announce that they were going to set kind of a, or at least part of OPEC is setting a floor, maybe the $70 range where they would step in. So there's definitely some room on the downside for oil to fall, and then hopefully gas continues to follow. That could have a really strong impact. But of course, on the other side of that, that's hitting the energy stocks as well.
That's true. You kind of get hit from both sides. If you're investing in the energy stocks, your retirement portfolio goes down, but what it costs you to fill up your tank also does. So you better take those tank savings and put it in your retirement portfolio.
Amen to that. I've got one of those big nasty SUVs with a 28 gallon tank, and I love it. I love it. It's a tank, and I feel very comfortable in it. But it does like the petrol. It does like the gas. So I do feel that pain at the pump, just like everybody else. It's interesting perspective, Houston, and I think that people are smart to pay attention to these things, because it does, as you said, you know, it does affect you, right, both in the pump and with your investment accounts. Let's grab a quick break. We'll come right back with Houston Harrison. He's helping us get a little perspective, not just mine, but his perspective as well on what's happening in the markets and the economy. Quick break. We'll be right back.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information. Here's a newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. Some invest in their education by getting advanced degrees and professional certifications. Some don't. Some advisors get multiple licenses and offer a wide range of solutions. Some don't. Some advisors choose to be independent. Some don't. Some advisors disclose how they are paid and the fees they charge. Some don't. Please don't settle for a don't. Let me introduce you to independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, a certified financial planner, a personal financial specialist, and a chartered financial consultant. With 23 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting.
And we are back with Houston Harrison. He's Managing Director of Capital Resource Group. He is a fellow financial planner, and your office is in Arkansas, right?
Yes, northwest part of the state, Walmart, Tyson Food Territory.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. Always low prices, always. Well, listen, I want to get your perspective. I just had this come up in a seminar I did, Houston, and I want you, we're talking about inflation, and we have seen some serious periods of inflation in our economy. You don't have to go far back in our minds, especially those of us that have been around longer, that go back to the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, where we saw some pretty high inflation. What do you hear from people as you meet with them in your financial planning practice? Even though we've seen this recent period of lower inflation, do people express concern to you about maybe seeing that high inflation when some of the Federal Reserve's actions or other things, you know, maybe have an impact on us? What are you hearing people say?
Yes, absolutely. Probably the number one concern of my clients is what happens when the hyperinflation hits. The question is not even if it's going to hit. Most of them believe it will hit. And so positioning the portfolio to accommodate for that, what types of steps need to be taken to be prepared for the hyperinflation that many people feel is inevitable.
And then that's the concern that people do have, and I hear that. And then the thing that's interesting is that the Federal Reserve seemed to, with the policies that they undertook, and I know you mentioned this in something recently you talked about, which is, you know, the Fed's focus on inflation. Then with the Fed's measure, they've actually been concerned, I think, about deflation. So I think people will be really taken aback and really caught flat-footed if they don't take steps, as you suggested, Houston, to do things to make sure your portfolio is aligned to hedge against that possibility. You want to prepare for all kinds of things, but that's one that's could really mess up people's purchasing power in their retirement.
That's right. And as advisors, you know that we have to point out all the different factors that could come into place. So whether it's inflation or deflation, we have to educate our clients. We have to help them just to be prepared, like you say, for any different type of situation. That can certainly be done within portfolios.
What are some of the things, and I agree, what are some of the things you're seeing, Houston, that are at least not necessarily, you know, I'm sure you're like me, not everybody gets exactly the same thing. You know, each person that comes in gets individualized planning and individualized recommendations, but are you seeing certain things that people seem to be comfortable with that you're using as a way to hedge against that possibility with inflation? Are you using gold, using equity, stock investing, things like that?
Yes. I would say the majority of clients are very concerned that when if there is big inflation, that their portfolios will take a hit, especially equity portfolios. So most folks are becoming more and more risk averse to equities. So we will reposition in those cases with fixed income type products or more products that don't have as much market risk, very little or no market risk, but where the fixed income can be reinvested and the gains and the growth can be accomplished through the reinvestment of income.
Okay, so they could still participate in some upside, but protect what they've got.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't think you're going to get any argument from anybody on that, Houston. I mean, I think a lot of people are tuned into that, and I see that as when I talk to people that they are, in fact, there's some trends that we've seen recently where people are more and more concerned about, you know, while they want to see that continued growth of the market, they are concerned about at least some of their money coming off the table and being protected, but then at the same time, they don't want to miss out on the party.
Kind of a catch-22 with fixed rates that
yeah.
You can get at banks being so low and the risk of the market. So you have to kind of find the fine medium.
Yeah, I see the advertisements in the paper, I'm sure like you do, you know, the whopping 1.2%. If you open a checking account, we got direct deposit, by the way. We see those from the banks, and it's like, okay, do I stand on top of my building and wave a big flag or bring my little cheerleader pom-pons? And I mean, really, 1.2%? You know, it's sad, and people look at that and go, well, should I do that? And I'm like, really? I mean, when inflation does pick up, all you're doing is almost guaranteeing that you're going to lose money every year when you adjust for inflation.
Well, I wasn't sure how much I should throw the banks under the bus on your show, but since you said it, you're right. That's a big problem.
Well, I like banks, and I work with banks, and I have friends that are at banks. But as has been said, Houston, you know, it is what it is. I mean, they put those ads in the paper like they, you know, they found five more commandments, and it's like, really? I mean, you really think people are getting excited about 1.2% or whatever it is? And You know, anyway, I mean, I think the point here, if I can say it with a straight face, is that people need to be, you know, they need to look at all options. And I love the idea of people having cash in their bank for emergencies. But in this environment, you've really got to look outside the box a little bit beyond just the CDs. And all those 5% CDs have pretty much all matured out.
That's true. Keeping pace with inflation is a real issue. And if folks are depending on the fixed type of bank type of returns, they may be in for some trouble down the road.
Well, we don't want that. We don't want that. I want to get to another topic with you, Houston, that we talked about the Fed and we talked about some of these other things. And the other side of this, I'll set it up and we'll grab a quick break. We'll hit it, is for a lot of families that are trying to figure out where to invest their money and how to you know, to balance between maybe they're helping their parents, maybe they are trying to save for their own retirement. One of the other big questions that comes up is what to do about funding college education. And my wife asked me about it the other day, saying, "Hey, how we doing?" And we talked about it and kind of regrouped on it. So let's. I'd like to get your take on that as well, if we could, Houston. So let's grab a break, come right back. Houston Harrison on the line. We'll talk more right after break about college savings.
Here's a newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. Some invest in their education by getting advanced degrees and professional certifications. Some don't. Some advisors get multiple licenses and offer a wide range of solutions. Some don't. Some advisors choose to be independent. Some don't. Some advisors disclose how they are paid and the fees they charge. Some don't. Please don't settle for a don't. Let me introduce you to independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, a certified financial planner, a personal financial specialist, and a chartered financial consultant. With 23 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting. Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back. Houston Harrison on the line with Managing Director, Capital Resource Group, giving us some perspective on and his take on, before the break, quantitative easing and Federal Reserve and inflation and hedging and how to deal with those issues. And now, after the break, the other topic we want to get to is college savings. And there's so many things out there, as you know, Houston, about different thoughts about how to do this. Give us your perspective and your take on college savings, and especially when people have conflicting or competing agendas with their own personal savings for retirement, or maybe a family member they're helping out, or other things. So what do you advise your clients?
Well, I think there's, David, there's really three main points here, and the first being work together as a couple, and even when your child gets older, include your child in the conversations, letting them allow the child to buy into the need to fund the college and their role in that. Also, number two, get professional advice. And granted, it may sound a little self-serving, but it's really true. There's so many different ways to fund, and there's so many different tax implications of how you do that the professional advice is really important, and especially if you're trying to address multiple goals at once, such as retirement along with education. And then the third point I would say would be understanding the distinction between the funding of college goals and the tax structure, or the type of account the IRS would call it. So those would be the three most important things in my view.
Well, there's a lot to chew on there. Let me ask you. Let's do this, because I'd like you to get your thoughts about this, Houston. You know, I recently wrote a column about this, talking about we've got 529s, we've got UPMA and UGMA accounts, we've got just regular brokerage savings accounts that people can use. They can do, again, cash in the bank. They can do their prepaid college plans where they are doing it through the state system. Florida, we have that, and I think most other states have it. You know, so there's so many options. I've even seen people refinance their house, take the cash out, and use it to make a lump sum payment for both kids, to give them a full boat, and then they basically then pay over time, in effect, with paying their house off. So there's so many different ways to do it. That's where I think your point is right on about it being an individualized thing, and that's where getting some guidance could really help.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things that we can do where a quick study, and we can make a decision. I know when I got married to my wife, I did a quick study on diamonds and wedding rings and engagement rings, and I figured out what I wanted to do, in a day or two. But the education funding and cash flow and the tax implications is not a do-it-yourself, or it's not one you want to depend on a quick study that you do on the internet. Your financial advisor can sit down with you. They can model the cash flow for every different type of account, and also the tax implications, and also include multiple goals within that cash flow analysis, and you guys can really work together in determining the best route forward.
Well, I think a lot of times people don't recognize, Houston, that there are more than one way to get there, of course, but there are some significant differences in these techniques. And also, it's not in addition to the tax, but it also has to do with your own personal financial position. So, for example, I'll use myself here as a guinea pig. For me personally, for my three kids, my wife and I decided we needed something that was the most flexible. So we opted for simply, even though it's not the most tax favorable approach for us, to do straight up cash savings and brokerage investment, you know, opening up a Fidelity account and putting money into that investment account, you know, diversified portfolio and all that, and we don't get any benefit from a tax deferral or the 529, but because the kid's dad is a financial planner and who has income that depends on his business and how well his own clients do, I needed flexibility.
Great point. So in addition to the tax implications, absolutely, the liquidity and the flexibility are always going to come into play when you're doing the planning. So bring those things up when you're meeting with an advisor. Another thing is life stage. For instance, in my case, my wife and I got married late and started a family late. So I was in my early 40s. She was in her late 30s. So now I'm in my late 40s, and I've got a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. So I'm really a good planner for my own situation. I'll be 63 when my oldest starts college and 71 when the youngest is out of college, and that's assuming it's 4 years for each of them. So exactly the time most people would retire, I'm putting kids through college.
So you're planning on working to 106, right?
That's correct.
Well, you got a good attitude about it. But see, you made the exact point I did, is you've got to consider your personal position and your situation. And there's a lot of different ways to get there, and you just need to consider your circumstances. But because these different, and also consider the kids and their circumstances, or how much control. You mentioned getting them to participate before, Houston, and to buy in from the child. How much they're going to be involved also determines what type of account you want to set up, right?
That's right. Exactly right. So the child, might buy into the point of saving, helping to save prior to college, and they might buy into the idea of working during college. And regardless of which one, there's implications of the type of account, just like you say. So you want to plan for the child's contribution, whether it be through working during and before college, and also the type of account.
How about the potential for qualifying for scholarships, loans, grants, things like that?
Great question. The federal guidelines look at several factors, but income and assets. So how assets are structured, whose name they're in, are important when you're trying to qualify for financial aid. They're going to require that you have a contribution. It's called the expected family contribution of certain types of assets. If you don't have those types of assets, then your expected contribution could be lower, or if you were able to reposition. So literally, when you're planning for college, there are strategies that you can make. Even if the child is a senior in high school, there are strategies that could save you thousands of dollars.
Well, and along those lines, one of the other things I know that you've cautioned against or cautioned to be focused on, Houston, and that is being careful of putting your own finances or your own retirement at the back behind paying for the college. So, and even so much as people that might raid their retirement money to pay for college.
So true. Most advisors, I think, would recommend. And in my case, you know, as we mentioned earlier, I absolutely have to save for retirement at the same time we're saving for college education. But yes, most advisors would recommend that you address both goals, that you don't only save for your child's education without saving for your retirement or whatever other goals you might have. Whatever other goals you might have, because then you've lost all that time. And that, you know, 18 years is a long time.
Yes, it is. It is. It's a long time not to have that money working that you might put away and have be working toward your retirement. That compounding of money over time is obviously a big part of what we do, Houston, trying to help people plan for their future. And there's lots of ways they can get there. Any other thoughts for suggestions for folks for getting the college figured out? Any other ideas you have for them?
Just planning ahead. The earlier that you start planning and saving, obviously, just like you mentioned, the better off you are because you have time on your side and you can adjust if the markets turn, if you're actually invested in the market. Number two, just get that professional advisor on your side helping you. The whatever the cost of the advisor, if anything, would be more than made up for with the strategies they bring to the table. And then thirdly, just understand the distinctions between the different types of plans that are out there and how they fit within your overall life and your overall planning.
Excellent. Houston Harrison, ladies and gentlemen, Managing Director, Capital Resource Group. Houston, we'll have to have you come back and talk with us again. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.